All right. So briefly tonight, we're going to cover the topic of socialism and communism versus capitalism. How many times does the word socialism, capitalism, or communism appear in the Bible?
Zero.
The answer would be zero. So when we want to do topical studies, what we do is we pull biblical principles. So I put the beginning part of this up on the screen that will hopefully make it a little bit easier to follow. We'll start by just talking about definitions of these systems. The definition of socialism. Socialism is a political and economic system that aims to create a more equal society by sharing the ownership of property and the means of production. So a capitalistic society says we'll have private property. You have the right to own things and to build wealth, but socialism says that's not really fair, so we want to make it equal by making everyone have equal ownership in property and also the means of production. These are some features of a socialistic society. Ownership. The state or government controls the means of production, such as factories, tools, and machinery. So again, that would be the government owning the means of production, such as the factory, instead of private corporations or individuals owning those things. Planning. A socialistic society is organized through planning rather than through market forces. So the society that says we want to try socialism says rather than allowing for the free market and competition, we will have organized planning as to what the economic system is going to look like. And what we'll get to in just a second is that the people who do the planning is the government, the muscle. So quite often the plan doesn't come out the way that they promised it would. And there's a lot of corruption from the people who say we'll be in charge of planning how the economy runs. Distribution. In a socialistic society, goods and services are distributed equitably and production is responsive to the needs of the general population. So again, the goods and services are distributed equitably, and the government steps in to say, well, this guy has more than he'll ever use. We'll take it and we'll spread it around to these other people who don't have quite as much. Socialistic systems often have strong welfare systems and social safety nets. So welfare being your poor will give to you, which again is a biblical principle. But in the Bible, giving is much different than the government coming to you and saying, I'm going to take that money out of your account and give it to somebody else, whether you like it or not. So here's some definitions of communism. Communism is a political, economic, and social ideology that aims to create a classless society where the means of production are owned in common and wealth is shared equally. Same type principle as socialism, sort of. Common ownership. In a communist society, the means of production, such as factories and mines, are owned by the public, not by individuals. Another factor that features into communism is no private property. Communism eliminates private property and social classes. Again, the government owns all of the property and will let everybody use it rather than just letting some people accrue enough wealth to pay for that property. In a socialistic society, there is no currency. In a communist society. In other words, if the government's going to give you everything you need and assign you credits that you can spend and tell you where to go and how much you can own and cap how much you can have, but also say no matter what, we'll give you this much, even if you don't work for it, they say, well, there's not really a need for a currency and saving up money to spend. We'll just let the government take care of it. In a communist society, wealth is shared equally among citizens or according to individual need. Now, there's one quote that is attributed to Karl Marx that is probably the simplest explanation of what communism is. Karl Marx said, "From each according to his ability, to each according to his need." So here's communism, and I would say socialism is just a softer form of communism, even though I know there's different dictionary definitions. That's just kind of my opinion, that socialism is a bit of a nicer way to say communism. So Karl Marx said, from you according to your ability, and to you according to your need. So again, just use the illustration that here we have a business owner. He's worked hard for 30, 40 years. He owns 10 factories. He has a couple of $1 million in the bank. He has a lot of employees that he enables to feed their family because they voluntarily come to his factory, work for a paycheck, and he hires them at a wage that is fair enough to keep them working. Because if it wasn't fair, they could go somewhere else and try to get a job that is fair. That's the idea of a free market capitalistic society. But then communism comes in and takes over and says, you have this business, you own 10 factories, you have millions of dollars, but this guy over here is barely getting by. He has a minimum wage job, he has kids, and he's pressured right now to be able to make it. He'd have to work two or three jobs, and that's not really fair. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the money from you, and we're going to give some of it to him. And spread it around and spread it around till it's more equitable and it's more fair. So if you have ability for us to take more, we're going to come take it from your ability. And if you have a great need, we'll come give it to your need. Okay? Here's another Karl Marx quote. The theory of communist may be summed up in the single sentence, abolition of private property. And again, that one is just interesting, that your ability to own property that belongs to you and your family is stripped from you in a communist society because the loving, benevolent government says, we'll own it all and just trust us, we'll be fair. So don't complain if we take what you worked for. A couple definitions of capitalism. Capitalism is an economic system where private individuals or businesses own the means of production and the free market determines the prices and distribution of goods. So here's the idea of a capitalistic free market society. I open up a restaurant. I want to sell hamburgers. And I might not have had business training in a free market society. So I say, I want to charge $25 per hamburger. Now that's actually getting pretty close to what it is now. At least it feels like it with all this inflation, right? But let's go even further. Let's say I say $40 for a hamburger. And you wander in off the street to my business and you say, all right, I'm here to try this out and try a new hamburger place and support a new local business owner. And they look at the menu and they say, this burger is $40. They're selling them across the street for $10. Is there something different about your burger that makes it better? Is this the Kobe beef or something like that that, you know, came from Japan and is the most expensive beef? And you say, no, it's just ground chuck. Well, why are you charging $40? And you say, because I want to make a lot of money. And that person's going to say, I think I have to go. I remembered something I have to do. And they're going to go across the street and get the same burger for $10. So what happens is the businesses start to compete with each other. The prices will fall to a level in the middle where you will gladly pay for it because it's a good product. It's not too much. You can afford it. And those businesses will have to watch what the other businesses are doing and up their service and up their ingenuity and the quality of their burger. But in a communistic society, if the government says nobody can charge more than $2 for a hamburger because the poor people should be able to eat, and the business owner says, well, I can't make any money off of $2 hamburgers. Guess what happens? The business owner shuts down the restaurant. Now there's a lack of goods and services. So the theory of capitalism is that when there's an open market and competition, the prices will be better for the consumer while the business owner is still making money. And the person who's showing up for the entry level job to clean the floors and ring up the register for hamburgers won't have to be forced to work, but they'll volunteer to work with the hope that as they save money and learn more about the business, get more educated, they can someday get a better job and have a path to climb forward. Capitalism believes in private ownership, that individuals or business own the capital goods and not the government. As we just explained, in a capitalistic society, the free market determines prices and the distribution of goods based on supply and demand. the main feature of capitalism is the motive to make a profit. And some people will say there, to make a profit, that's greed. The Bible is against greed, so all things capitalism are bad. But again, go back to the example of the factory owner. You say, well, he's really, really rich, and that's not fair. But in his 10 factories, he may be employing 1,000 people who are able to work, get benefits, pay for insurance and groceries, and feed their families. Okay? So it's never in a vacuum where a rich person's getting rich, we should be mad at them. A lot of the times in a capitalistic free market society, the rich person is actually creating opportunities for other people where they voluntarily work for him to help him make money, but they're also making money at the same time. Capitalism is built on market competition. Again, sort of the illustration of the hamburger. If you want to start a hamburger restaurant, you've got to do the research, you've got to get your quality up, and then you'll be able to compete with your competitors. Now, just to explain some terms that are thrown around today. Capitalism would strive for equity, while communism or socialism would strive for equality. Okay? So, not again getting into politics and all this, but one of the people who are running for president has a video where she's explaining the idea of equity versus equality. So, equity means the rules are the same. All things are equal. Okay? The government is not going to come in and say, I'm on your taxes are 45% because your skin isn't white, but Joe, your taxes are 10% because we like white people better. That's not equal. That's evil. That's a sin. Okay? But when the government says the opportunities are equal, the tax rates are equal, then it's up to you to say, can I outwork Joe and make a better plan than he's making? And we all have the exact same chance and a fair shake, which is good, which is biblical. But equality is basically saying everyone needs to end up at the same place. We all need to have the same amount. So if, again, you were born with a wealthier background or more money in your family, that's not fair. And if generations further back of your different nationality or whatever had problems, that puts you on unequal footing. So we're going to take from one person and give it to the other so that everybody is equal and everybody ends up in the exact same place. Now, one of the people on that side who's always preaching those values of communism and socialism said, well, we need to just take from the top 1% in America. They'll say that all the time. The top 1% aren't paying their fair share. So the top 1% of wealth income earners in America are paying something like half of the taxes already, but the politicians will say that's not fair. We need to, again, take from them and spread it around to other people, regardless of how hard they're working or what they're doing. But you know, the truth is that if you live in America and make $35,000 a year or more, you are in the top 1% of wealth builders in the world when you spread it around beyond that. So I think somebody said a communist is someone who doesn't understand that eventually you run out of everybody else's money. Okay? So take all the money that all the rich people, the top 1%, have in America, and it's not really that much to fund all of our social programs for very long at all. So equity is good in as far as we all have equal opportunity and the same rules to play by. But equality is bad if the government comes in and says we all have to end up at the same place. Because not everybody was born with the same gifts, not everybody had the same background, and not everybody will work as hard. And that's part of what makes that line of thinking immoral according to the Bible. So for example, really quickly again, one of the candidates said, buying a house is expensive in America. So what we want to do is give $25,000 to every first-time home buyer, and that will help people be able to buy more houses and afford them. And we think, oh great, that's really cool. But somebody ran a study and said, essentially, if you give every first-time home buyer $25,000 in their bank account, the sellers are going to realize there's not actually been an increase in demand. The supply has stayed the same, but the demand has gone up. What happens, this is sixth grade economics, what happens when the supply is the same but the demand goes up? The prices go up. So all that will happen is the people selling the homes are going to raise the prices and put more money in their pocket. Meanwhile, the United States government is out all of that money they threw at first-time home buyers, and the first-time home buyers of lower income brackets will pay more for the house, and the people selling the house will actually make more money, even though they may have been wealthier to begin with. Okay, our handout, super quick. Number one, socialism and communism are built on bad motives. Here is what I would explain as the motives that go behind pushing a socialistic or communistic society. Jealousy, selfishness, comparisons, and laziness. If anyone ever convinces you to hate the rich people just because they're rich, then you're falling into that trap of jealousy and of comparing. And you know what? I don't know how much money that doctors make right now, but I have no problem with somebody who went to school for 12 years and beyond and got really good at cutting open people's chests and operating on their hearts, making a whole lot of money. I don't know how to do that. And I'm not going to put the money and the time involved into doing that. So if I were to get mad at the doctor and say, I should make the same amount of money as him, or somebody should take away the money he has and give it to me, I would be guilty of that jealousy and wouldn't really be thinking biblically or practically. Colossians 3:5 says that we are to mortify, meaning to put to death, the members of our flesh. And the last one says covetousness, which is idolatry. Okay, so don't hate rich people just because they're rich and desire what they have. Number two, socialism and communism lead to laziness. So when you remove someone's motivation for work, human nature is that they're not going to work or work as hard. So lack of competition reduces ingenuity. I used the hamburger illustration earlier, but do you know why we have these cell phones in our pocket tonight? Do you know why we can go home and use our microwave and all of these different devices like air conditioners that have made our lives better? People were incentivized to create new things that people would actually want. So if the government comes out and says everybody makes $75,000 a year no matter what, and I know the government's going to send me $75,000 a year for free if all I do is go show up, say, to their program where you cut the grass or whatever, why would I not just do that instead of giving my whole life to invent something like a cell phone if I don't have the motivation and the incentive structure to actually be compensated for creating those things? So if somebody comes in and says, well, this guy owns the factory that makes pencils and he's really rich, that's not fair. I think his workers should make exactly the same amount of money that he does. So the guy that sits there, again, not degrading any type of work, but the guy who sits there and takes the block of wood and runs it through the machine and then shines it, if you say he's going to make the exact same amount of money as the guy who worked for the last 20 years to establish the business of manufacturing pencils, then the guy who owns the company has no incentive to actually work hard. And what you get is everybody gets dragged down to getting dependent upon free handouts instead of working hard. And that is not good. The Bible says, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So if you're the one that plants the tree, that fertilizes the tree, that waters it, that comes and pulls the fruit off of it, you should be allowed to eat it, not the guy who stands there and didn't work the whole time and says, hey, you have 10 pieces of fruit and I don't have any. That's not fair. Someone should take 5 of those away and give it to me. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. The first one who gets to partake of the benefits from working hard is the person who was responsible for doing the work in the first place. I'm going to cut some of these things out, but this one quote really stuck with me here. If a man were a millionaire, he still should have good, hard work to do for the good of himself and others. It is not only a crime to be useless, but a great sorrow not to be needed. So even if you had all the money you could ever spend, you would still do better off if you gave yourself a schedule and worked really hard at things that were rewarding and took up your time, like volunteering, than if you sat back and never actually worked at all. So if your useless, the author said that's a kind of a crime. But if you feel worthless, that is a tragedy. And not ever working or contributing anything, not just money, but not being able to work hard and see things get done and sleep good at night because you worked hard during the day, that's going to lead you to feeling useless or inferior, and that's a bad feeling. So I wish sometimes too I didn't have to go to work, but if we never went to work or filled our days with good things that kept us busy, it actually leads us to a lower quality of life rather than a higher one. Number three, socialism and communism violate specific scripture. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." So the Bible says if you're able-bodied and willing to work, but you refuse to, then no one else should be required to fund your grocery bill. You should have to work hard if you actually want to enjoy eating. Exodus 20:15, "Thou shalt not steal." So again, sometimes it sounds really spiritual and good to say, well, just take from the rich and give to the needy. But they're not saying, I'll give of what I have and I'll encourage other people to give. And they may not be saying, well, I'll go to his house with a gun and steal what he has. But what they're saying is, I'm going to vote for someone who steals what that guy has so that he will give it to me, even though that's not really just or fair. "The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days." Number four, socialism and communism are not taught as requirement for Christians. These verses here, Acts 2:44 through 45, will sometimes be cited to say, see, they were basically socialist in the book of Acts, and all Christians should be required to share their goods with others. When it says they had all things in common, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. There's two reasons why this is not the socialism that is pursued by government agencies today. The first reason is that it was voluntary. No one came in and said, you have to sell all that you have and give it to people who are poor. And what we see from the story of Ananias and Sapphira is that they promised they would sell their land and give all of it to the church so that those who were in need would be able to be taken care of. But they held a part of it back and God struck them dead. But the text says God struck them dead because they lied about it, because they claimed they were giving the whole thing when instead they were holding some things back. It was also an extreme time of great oppression. If you were a Jew in Jerusalem and professed Christianity, you could be put to death. You wouldn't be allowed to work. So these Christians who had amassed some wealth and who did own property and goods voluntarily sold them so that the church could then use it to take care of other Christians who were being put to death for their faith. Number five, socialism and communism require a sinless government in order to be successful. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So sometimes the question is asked, well, who watches the watchers? So the government says, we'll take possession of all of the money, all the goods, all the means of production, and you can trust us to be fair. And then the fair question is, but who is actually watching you to require that you be fair? So when a law is made by a government, every single law that is ever passed is actually weighing in on morality versus immorality. So some churches say, well, we're not going to talk about abortion and say that it's a sin because we don't want to be political. But it's moral, okay? So when the government comes in and says, thou shalt not steal, they're saying it's immoral to steal. When they're coming in and saying, we're going to take 80% of all your possessions just because you're wealthier, they're saying we believe it's moral for us to be able to take 80% of what you have just because we want it. And every law that's an actual law is enforced at the end of a gun. So Ronnie gets a speeding ticket. He says, I don't like speeding tickets. I'm not going to pay it. So they send him another thing in the mail that says your violation's going to increase if you don't pay it. He throws it in the trash. Eventually they raise his fines and his penalties, and then they issue what's called a warrant for your arrest. And if he gets pulled over again, they haul him off to jail. So if a law is passed and never enforced, it's not actually a law. But any law that the government says we're going to pass, they can show up at your house with a gun to enforce that law. So the government makes a bad God to trust in. The government makes a bad father to take care of the family. And the government actually does a pretty poor job at whatever it is. They try to step in and take over. Jesus said to his disciples, you will always have the poor people with you. It's just human nature that no matter what we do, we're never going to create a society where no one is poor, because we're never going to create a society where people are not impaired or lazy or unwilling to work or such. And as we said earlier in the study, the more money the government has pumped into trying to eliminate poverty, the worse it has gotten in every single category, while the national debt continues to skyrocket by trillions and trillions of dollars. Let me give you the last three. Six, capitalism fits biblical principles much better. I don't have scriptures underneath your handout here, because as I said, there's not one specific verse that says capitalism is good or socialism is bad. But capitalism fits the biblical principles of freedom, of rewards for our specific labors, of ingenuity through competition, hard work, voluntary giving versus involuntary surrendering of your money when it's time to give. While, as we said, the other systems promote jealousy, selfishness, laziness, theft, etc. The Bible says we should work hard in order to eat and have plenty. The Bible says we shouldn't steal. The Bible says we shouldn't feed the lazy without requiring them to work hard. The Bible says the workman is worthy of his wages. The Bible says that it's a wise thing to do to search out matters and discover them and make inventions and things like that. And capitalism encourages all of that. Number seven, capitalism should be built upon a just scales philosophy enforced by the government. These two verses here in Proverbs are simply telling us that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. So when you used to go shop at the market, they could rig the scales. So you would go to buy tea or grain, and the person making the sale would put it on the scale and say, well, that's a pound, so you owe me this much. But they would rig the scales where the scale would read a pound while the actual measurement was something like 0.7 pounds. They were cheating. The Bible says that God hates that. Proverbs 16:11 is basically telling us that God is fair and He requires us to be fair. So quite often people will say, well, here's an example of where capitalism isn't really working and kind of what's wrong in our society right now. But it will be examples of crony capitalism or something that's not really a free market principle at all. So when they passed Obamacare, they also wrote into the law, but all of these unions that give to our political party, they're exempt from Obamacare. The senators who voted to approve Obamacare exempted themselves and the health care they received from the law that we were going to be held accountable to. Okay? So people will say during COVID, somebody said, see, capitalism has failed. It's time to start a whole new system of socialism. But the reason things were languishing is that the government said you're not allowed to keep your business open. That's not an example of the free market failing or of capitalism failing. A lot of people who would espouse libertarianism, I think, may have some good points, but it can actually sort of be an anarchy type of system where no laws are needed, no government is needed. Ayn Rand wrote a lot of books, was a famous author, and I believe she was famous for saying charity is bad. If your neighbor is struggling, don't give to charity to support the poor. Let him suffer, let him die, and that will be better for society, when that doesn't match what the Bible says. The Bible says we should give to the poor. We should look to help the needy. We just should do it voluntarily, not by voting to steal from other people so that they can do it. And we should require them to work hard and all of that. So I think the men who wrote the United States Constitution, while they weren't perfect at all and they were sinners and there was flaws, the idea was more of a biblical idea from Romans 13 about a government with power and authority, but that had a lot of checks and balances limiting their authority. And I think that that's more biblical than full-blown anarchy or libertarianism that says there shouldn't be any government. If you want to be protected, then you better be good with a gun and stronger than the person who comes after you, or else you're just on your own. So the government can support this type of a situation by treating everyone fairly, protecting everyone, and forcing contracts and disallowing the cheating that comes about through lobbying and a lot of those corrupt practices that we see happen through our government today. Number eight, capitalism can't give salvation or legislate morality. Obviously, only God can give us salvation. And you can't legislate morality, meaning I can't pass a law that says, Joe, you're not allowed to have hate in your heart. I can pass a law that says if you throw a brick through somebody's window, you get a fine and you go to jail. But I can't take the hate out of his heart. Only God can do that. And when we try to get the government to take the hate out of people's hearts, that ends us up in a pretty bad situation. I am going to forego reading James 5, 1 through 8, but you can look that up later. God very specifically rebuked rich men who were ripping off the people who worked for them and not paying them a fair wage. So even in a capitalistic society, it's possible for us to engage in unethical business practices that God would judge us for. And Psalm 62, 1 through 5 essentially says that our hope is in God and it's not in anything else at all. So I'm going to stop and conclude that part of the lesson right there tonight.